kind of feel in our church that we've got to keep practicing the presence of God. How many people here are comfortable with the presence of God? And, you know, if it's not something that you, if you've never really experienced like the Holy Spirit just really touching you, I encourage you to press in. Come and talk to us. You know, there are things that we can do and just to help you understand that, because living with God is amazing. And when you get that sense of the Holy Spirit touching you, and that's why sometimes in worship you see people going crazy and their arms are up and they're just really, eyes are closed. It's because once you get that sense of the Holy Spirit, you just want to put yourself back in that place time and time again. And, you know, a natural instinct is to stand and observe, but God never wants us to observe. He wants us to experience. And, you know, a Christianity is a Christianity that we are supposed to experience God. We don't believe in religion. We believe in relationship, and relationship is real. Amen? And I love that, because, you know, when the world looks at religion, they see, you know, they kind of see all the churches and the steeples and they see all of that. But we live relationship. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing unless I was feeling something daily. Amen? Unless I was experiencing Him, unless He was speaking to me through His Word and conversing with me, and I was getting the presence of God and feeling it. Otherwise, I would have bailed out years ago. And I think we've got to make sure our Christianity always has an experience attached to it. You can get one every day. True? To the person, you say, amen. Now, you need to go loud on me because it's a bit of a dull, rainy day. And when people come in from a rainy day, they're kind of like, I don't know, like the gray clouds. So I need you to be full of life. And everyone say, amen. Amen. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. I will. I haven't started. I was at a wedding last night for someone within our church. Beautiful. So it was way up in Currajong Heights, Richmond. So I was there this morning, and it was a beautiful drive down the mountain. And it was gorgeous up there. Great wedding. Weddings are great, aren't they? Especially godly weddings. I love them. I think they're amazing. Today I'm going to talk on money. Everyone say money. You know, when you talk on, like I have been on the area of freedom, last week I talked on insecurity. And I don't talk, I mean, obviously we have a tithing message, and Jerry nailed it this morning. Everyone give Jerry a hand. But I like, you know, this is an area where I think we've got to spend some time on talking about finance, because there's not a person in this place that your finance doesn't affect you. True? Who just doesn't care? Finance has no effect on you whatsoever. Raise your hand. Okay. One of the youth just popped their hand up. Obviously not working hard enough for their pocket money, right? No. So the crazy thing is that it's a big area, and I want to talk about money freedom because I think, you know, obviously within the church, we understand finance. But I got to say, you know, quite often within the church, because of the time that we give it, we don't give a holistic approach to everything that we could say about finance, because there's something so powerful about it. And the reality is that all of us in this place really, at some stage in our lives, have had to get our heads wrapped around, and we've had our hearts churned up by this whole area of finance. And it's something that I believe when we talk about freedom, bringing finance to freedom and freedom to finance, is something that we need to actually focus in on. And I've been reading a book at the moment by a guy called Paul DeYoung, and we're going to actually, in the future, he's got a curriculum or a course that really just helps people understand biblical finance, and we're going to do that in the church. So I've taken some of his thoughts and some of my own thoughts and thrown it together this morning. So I encourage you, if you want to get a book, it's called, by Paul DeYoung, it's called Money and Me. Everyone say Money and Me. Something like that. God, Money and Me. I could be. I could have got it wrong. But here's some stats, and I got these stats out of the book. It said that nearly 50% of couples who get divorced do so because of disagreements over finance. Crazy. True? How many here are you married and you've had a disagreement or within the last month or so over finance? Raise your hand. Who hasn't? Raise your hand. Well done. There's a couple. Within the last year, you've had a disagreement over finance. The reality is, in our homes, finance is huge. In addition to that, it says that almost 70% of newlyweds, money is the issue that causes most of the arguments in their first year of marriage. Crazy. So it's something that we can't ignore as the church. Would you agree? If you're talking about those sort of statistics and you're talking about that sort of effect on an individual, on a house, on a home, on a marriage, on a family, on a relationship, it's something we can't ignore. It's like, oh, well, let's not talk money. And when we, obviously the world, when they look at the church, and I don't know why, but they actually say that the church focuses on money a lot. But, I mean, this is probably the first time I've preached on money for a long time. But it's not so, it's just not true. But even if that is the case, if we understand the effect that finance has on our lives, why aren't we speaking about it? Amen? Whoever we are, money has a far greater authority over our lives than we could ever consider. For us just to pause for a moment and actually just look at the week that we've just had and actually just, if you actually decided to look at that week and think about in detail how much of that was spent around money, we'd actually realize that a lot of our thinking, a lot of our actions, a lot of what we do is dictated around our finances. True? It contains and holds a lot of authority over our lives. For the majority of us, it determines where we live. True? If money was no object, where would you be living? What a fantastic thought. Let's just pause for a moment. I've seen plenty of places where I could be living if money was no object. But imagine. Imagine what we'd be doing. Would we be in the world? Would we be in the job that we're in if money was no object? Come on. A couple of hell no's across the auditorium. But you can think about it. When you actually think about the power it creates over your life, I mean, the amount of people I've met in my life who literally say, hey, how's your job? Yeah, it's a living. And that's their reality when it comes to finance, is the fact that they are serving. It's got that control. They're not actually enjoying what they're doing. They're not in what they're doing, but they're just doing what they're doing to get a dollar. And we've all had those jobs, amen? I remember my very first job, I was only very young, and I went to all these factory sites, and I just wanted to get some sort of pocket money or something. And I remember knocking on the door of a glass factory, and they gave me my very first job. And it was a rude awakening, a very, very rude awakening, that all I had to, I always spent all day with gloves picking up broken glass. And I thought, wow, you know, you think, oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, I got my first job. And after about, I remember it was holidays, like 2 weeks of just standing outside, picking up broken glass and putting it into a bin, literally, and sweeping. I thought, wow, how exciting is this? My daughter, Annalise, has just got her first job. And she came home this week. And she's just working at, I think it's a cafe called Soul Origin or something. And she said, Dad, I just can't believe how rude people are. She got abused. One lady came back and said, this is the worst service I've ever had, because she didn't give her a plastic bag as she walked off. And little Alice says, is that it? And just the craziness of that world. When you get involved in finance and get involved in world, it's not all just a bed of roses. True? A lot of our life decisions are wrapped around finance. You've got debt in your life. It controls a lot of your world. Amen? if you've got mortgages, if you've got unpaid debts, if you've got credit cards, the amount of control that finance can have over your world is staggering. And the sort of things that we do because of it is staggering. You may tell yourself that money doesn't own you. But the reality is, if you actually look back and see the things that you're involved in and all the extra things you do, it can be quite true and quite honestly confronting to realize how much control money has over your life. The amount of people that I've had in my life who said, you know what, Pastor Andrew, I would launch myself into ministry and not serve God if I had the money. True? A lot of people, dreams are held up, bent up. And I actually think we've got to really understand that there is a huge topic when it comes to finance. And the Bible itself, actually, money is one of the key topics of the Bible. Amen? It's up there. I don't have the stats on it. I could find it for you next week, but or the week after. But the reality is finance is a huge topic in the Bible. It's not something small. It's not something insignificant. God understands that it has a great deal of power, and something that we need to really make sure that we put our minds around and get God's perspective. So I want to make a couple of points, and then I want to jump into start teaching some foundations on finance from the Word of God, some things that of how God has set up finance, because I actually believe we need some freedom in this. We need to have some revelations in our spirit and in our hearts about where money sits and some things that we need to actually start praying about and working towards and believing for change in our lives. Amen? Just like there might be a need for healing or a need to know more about the Word or a new Christians class, that this is an important area of our lives. So we need to realize it either directs you, money does, or you direct it. It either directs you or you direct it. Money has got a power to it. It's got an authority on it. And it's something that we need to realize that we actually are supposed to be the ones that direct it. But if you don't, if you leave it idle, if you don't think about it, it will direct you. It has an authority. And so we need to challenge some of our thinking to get our heads around it. And so often we've taught so many different topics. Like we do teach all sorts of pathways to freedom. I've just been teaching on forgiveness and security. I've taught on a great deal of things, but this area of finance is something we need to talk about. So some of these foundations. First, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10. Because you are called to fulfill the promises of God on your life. And so we find in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. But the blessing of the upright, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." So when we need to realize that when it comes to finance, us talking about it, us sharing about it, us getting our minds into it, for you as a believer, it's a topic that you need to get your head around and understand. And not just the things that we say here for a tithing and talk about sowing and reaping, but understanding how to handle your money. The Bible talks about how we should handle it, how we should structure our finances. There is a lot of wisdom in the Word of God about these areas. And sometimes for us in this room, we could think, well, you know, I'm just sowing and I should be blessed. But the Bible actually talks about a lot more than just sowing. It actually talks about reaping, and reaping actually has a whole process to it as much as sowing, amen? And there are ways and reasons why we aren't reaping. There are principles in the Word of God that we haven't got our heads around, and if you need more financial reaping in your life, raise your hand. And so I think some of this stuff we need to really get our heads around and understand it. So let's look at this first two parts of this verse. It says, "When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation." The first point in this verse, it talks about that even a city is better off when things go well for the righteous. So when you are blessed, when this church is blessed, when there is a greater authority of finance and understanding, when there is a greater authority of finance in your own life, then This is one of the ways that we're going to bless our city. Amen? And think of this for a moment. Just as we get together as Christians, whether it's a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or where do we are, we pray for our city, true? We pray and we storm up and down and we say, God, we come against the principalities and the powers and we believe for salvation to be released. And our city, God, we believe for the city to be saved for you. God is actually saying that your understanding and your authority and your connection with money will actually affect our city. So for us as a church or for us as individuals, if we aren't free in this area, if we're not getting breakthrough, then our city is not receiving what it could be receiving from the righteous. Are you with me? So God is actually, for us as individuals, God is actually wanting you to have a breakthrough yourself, to understand finance, for our church to have a breakthrough. I can tell you, if we had more resource in this place, we would do more. Amen? I actually get amazed at what we do with the resource we have and the amount of people we support and look after. But if someone gave us more, I guarantee we would do more. Would you agree? And guess what God wants for you as an individual in your life? And God, so you inside of you, your desire to have God's blessing and understanding and fruitfulness in your finance is actually a very godly thing. Just as much as you think you should have freedom in the way that you pray and the way that you live and the way that you encourage people and the way that you share the gospel, God wants you to have freedom in your finance to be fruitful and do incredible things. Are you with me? We could do a lot more. The second thing it says out of this verse, it says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. That word blessing of the upright, that word blessing in the original text has a couple of meanings. It's called prosperity and it's called the liberal pull of the upright. The prosperity or the liberal pull means God would love to take our lives and make them become part of an answer, not part of the problem. Are you with me? God's actually looking to us as a church, looking to us as the righteous, and he's looking with the finance that he's given us, with the ability he's given us, and he's going, I want you to be part of the answer to my city. Are you hearing me? And when it comes to resource, obviously we understand in the church, we're part of the answer because we pray. We're part of the answer because we share the gospel. We're part of the answer because we preach his word. But do you realize that you're part of the answer because of finance? Because you're blessed, because you're the righteous. So it's like bringing your head into the same realm to understand that God's word talks about this as a means that God can do great things. He does it by blessing the upright. Listen to this. By the blessing, everyone say by. The blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. By the blessing of the upright. Who's upright in this place? Who's not upright? You've got Jesus Christ in your life and you're saved, then you're upright. Because you're under the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? So it makes you righteous. It says, by the blessing. So we're called as a people to be used by God to change our city. That's why we need to teach this stuff. That's why you can't sit where you are. Just like, you know, God doesn't want you to sit where you are in any area of freedom in your life, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's insecurity, whether it's fear, whether it's some area in your life that's holding you back. And you might not think of that. Might not put your finances into that equation or give it that much credence. But the reality is God does. God's word does. Because there's freedom there. There's going to be opportunity for you to be walking in something that God wants you to do. Another reason why we need to talk about money is because as Christians, we are distracted by money. I've said this a few times here, but the true meaning of sin is missing the mark, right? So if I pointed on that back wall and I pointed at that TV screen, say that God says that if I walk this straight line, that's the way. And anything outside of that is not God's perfect plan. That's God's perfect plan for me to walk straight there. So I decide to go this way. That's literally what sin is. It's straying off the pathway of God's perfect plan. It's not something he's trying to just rip your world apart and try and make you live a miserable life or do things that you don't want to do. It's like, I've designed you, that's the perfect way, and anything that we do outside of that is actually outside of God's perfect plan. And it's the same to do with finance. God wants us to have an understanding that there is a way for us to bring it. And when we are not living under God's way, when we haven't got an understanding of how God wants us to give or how God wants us to receive or how God wants us to save or how God wants to invest and how God wants us to manage our finances, then we get distracted by the power of that. And how many Christians are distracted by finance? How many callings haven't been released because they've been distracted by finance? How many more missionaries would there be? Come on. How many more would be doing things that they're just on their hearts to do if they weren't distracted by finance? So finance is a big area. So I'm going to jump into a foundation. I'm going to start very much in the beginning of the Bible. Are you with me? Say amen. Because I think we need to create a foundation to bring this freedom into our lives and allow ourselves to understand what God wants from us. So I want to start at the very beginning on how God set things up before it got distorted, to see what power God gave us in this area of finance, where God gave us power, because it is about power. It's a battle between the way that the finance wants to govern you and dictate how you do things versus how you can release the power of it in your own lives. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. You got your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Okay, do a flicking, a scrolling. Has anyone got a real old Bible? Has anyone got, I haven't seen one in a long time. A paper Bible? No. Everyone's electronic. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So in this passage, we see some very clear steps when it comes to the area of blessing and finance. We see some actually very set out steps on how God created you from the very beginning. Now, if you've got, sometimes we can have all sorts of distortions in our hearts and our minds when it comes to the area of finance, but I think this is what I'm trying to do, is go back to the very beginning, look at how you were designed by God to get your head around how God wants you to think about finances and think about the power that you have over it and think about what God wants to do with that area of your life. Are you with me? So step one, it says God created us in his own image. First step is pretty self-explanatory. God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him, which is awesome, powerful, incredible. We're in the image of God. We're not in, he didn't create us out of some, he didn't create us to look in the image of a giraffe or the image of a hippopotamus or what have you. He didn't create something else. He actually created us in the image of himself, which is powerful. Are you with me? There is some incredible design in that, and there's an incredible wow in that, and you should feel honored that you are created in the image of God. Amazing. And I love that here, just going to throw it in because of the season we're in. He created us to be male or female. There we go. That's a whole other topic. Step two. So first of all, God says, I created him in my image, my own image. And then he says, step two, it says, then God blessed them. Step two, God blessed them. That word blessed means liberal poor or prosperity. Liberal poor means you're actually making decisions out of something that's positive. Are you with me? You're the answer. You're not the problem. That word blessing means prosperity. We were created in the image of God, and then God created us to be blessed by him. So that's when you're resetting yourself. You are the image of God, and God says, okay, fantastic, you're my image. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to create you to be blessed by me. Not by someone else, not by some other means, but he wants us to be blessed by him. And this is something, if you think for some reason you've got some other picture in your head about how God sees you, that God actually wants you to be humble and poor and insignificant. And I know that in the past, religious people have put up the picture of Christ who had nowhere to sleep and he just carried the same clothes with him. But that's not the reality of how God's created us. Are you with me? There's a whole mission behind what Jesus was doing, and he was absolutely blessed, and he wasn't someone who just walked in complete abject poverty. Are you with me? The reality is, for you as a believer, if the way you God has created you, he's created you in his image and likeness, and then he's created you to be blessed by him. That's, he's a settle into your spirit and realize that that is something that's quite powerful. It's the way you were created. We need to involve him in our finances because we're supposed to understand that we are blessed by him. God needs us to speak this into the church and speak this into us as believers because we need to understand that that is who we are. God created you to have a relationship with him. Amen? And we talk about it every second week that you are created to be used by God, to be in a relationship with God. And also, just as much as that, God's created you to be blessed by him. And if it's not experiencing it, if you're not experiencing salvation, we do something about it. If you're not experiencing freedom in some other area of your life, we do something about it. If you're not experiencing God's blessing in your life, we need to do something about it. Amen? Just as we, as a church, we pray, God, for those, God, everyone is created to have a relationship, to be in relationship with you, to be saved. Well, God created everyone to be blessed by him. So it's something that we need to be tenacious about and something we actually need to have a conviction about in our spirits. Step number 3, Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Step 3, we were created to be fruitful and to multiply. So these three steps are profound. Because actually when you break them down, the first one, step 1, is our design. We were designed by God in the image and likeness of God, right? So God's created us, designed us in his image and likeness in perfection and with power, with all that we need. And then step number 2, he says, okay, now I'm going to resource my design. He says, I've created you in my likeness and image, but now I'm going to resource you because he says he blessed them. Are you with me? He's going to resource you. So you're designed by God. You're designed for a purpose on this earth. Every one of us in this room was created for a purpose. God thought of something he wanted done on the earth. Jeremiah 29:11, we know that verse. He says, every thought over what was good, future and hope. He has a purpose for every one of us. He's thought about your purpose. He's designed you. And then the second thing he said is, I have resourced you for that purpose. I am your resource. And then step number 3, he's given us all purpose. He says, I want you to be fruitful and I want you to multiply and to have dominion. Are you with me? You've actually got to peel that all back. And for us as a church and for us as individuals, are we fruitful in this area of finance? Are we multiplying? Are we having dominion? When I mean dominion, let's put it down to debt. Are you on top of debt or is debt on top of you? Come on. Are you with me? It's all gone quiet in here. You're all right. Because somewhere inside of us, we've got to get a conviction in our spirits about what God has designed us to do. And if you are struggling with that, how many people here struggle with the fact that you were designed to be in a relationship with God? Raise your hand if you struggle with that fact. Okay. Truth. Good. But the reality is most of us don't, because we understand that. We were designed to walk and to communicate with God and to read his word and to be in relationship with him. But I want to tell you from the very beginning in Genesis that God designed you, number one, in his image and likeness, number two, that he would resource you, and number three, that your purpose is to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. Amen? And when we allow that to get into our spirits, it should actually cause us to ask a whole bunch of questions about why we're not. True? If I asked you and said to you, why aren't you a Christian? And you said to me, oh, I've never really understood the gospel and I've never really understood what I need to do to become a Christian and accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. You can answer that question and you can bring the truth and the revelation and you can change your life. Well, guess what? The Word of God actually wants to change the way you think about finance and bring about some healing and some freedom and bring about the purpose that God has for your life. Amen? So these three steps are vital. And I'm going to very quickly finish this and then we're going to close up. So these three steps. First of all, knowing that we were created in the image of God means that we need to always come back to God, his word, to keep God's image in our hearts and minds and the image of the world. There's an image of the world and there's an image that God has for you. And I think when it comes to the area of finance, if we don't get that image right, if we stray off that, then we actually mess up our financial world. Are you with me? If you start to think, because the image of the world is this person and what they do with their finance and what they do with their prosperity and what's important to them and what's important to the world out there and what they consider to be something to focus on and what they give their lives to, it is not the same as you. Amen? The image that God has for you and your finance and what he wants you to do is powerful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all with unveiled faces behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord is. Every time you read the Word of God, every time you get yourself into the Word, God will reinforce that image of how he created you. And you know what? That will affect your finance. If you allow that to distort, then all sorts of imageries about what you need and how you should live and where your finance sits and what how it affects your world will start to flood into your world. So the first thing is we've got to be protective over the image. You were created in the image and likeness of God. And when you read the Word of God, that's where you get your image from. It should. And you know, when I read the Word of God, when I open the Bible, that's what that scripture in Corinthians talks about. When I open the Word of God, it corrects my image. Sometimes it doesn't take long. I could watch a couple of TV shows. I could have a bad day, and suddenly my image starts to distort like this. But when you read the Word of God, it's like you're seeing a mirror. It's like you're looking into how God created you, and you go, ah. Do you ever hear that when you read the Word of God? It just corrects a little bit of thinking. It corrects a little bit of waywardness. You might be having a whole bunch of doubt. You might have been a whole bunch of fear about finance and other areas. And God will just start to correct that in you when you look at the Word of God. So it's something we have to live. If you want that area of freedom, it's got to be step two, knowing that he is the source of our blessing. It says in Genesis that he blessed them. You know what? This great. When you look at this, we need to know this for two reasons. If you don't have enough finance, you need to know that he is the source of your blessing. Amen? Because that invokes faith and stirs you up. If you have a whole bunch of finance, you need to know that he is the source of your blessing. Amen? It's beautiful. It works both ways. Because if you are blessed, if you get to a place where you think, oh, look, man, I'm just swimming in it, well, then you need to realize that he is the source of your blessing. It comes from God. And you need to humble yourself and not allow yourself to be taken off track. And if you're someone that's struggling and you're going, God, I don't understand why, and da-da-da, God says, I'm the source of your blessing. So you need to take some of that worry. And we know, you read right through the Word of God, that God wants us to give us His care, our cares and our worries, and God will bring back that balance into our lives. Are you with me? Psalm 24, verse 1, the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Amen? Everything. Step number 3, knowing we are called to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion is vital. It's vital because we are created to be fruitful and multiply. And if you're not experiencing that, if I said to you, in the last 5 years, have you seen fruitfulness and multiplication in the area of finance in your life? And you said to me, no, well, we need to do something about it. Amen? If I said to you, are you seeing fruitfulness and you're multiplying, you're seeing a great thing happening in your family and your relationship? And you say, yeah. If you aren't, we would do something about it. If you're not growing in God, we'd do something about it. And it's an area where God says that you are called to be fruitful and multiply. And if you're not seeing that, that there's some limit, there's something. The devil's trying to tell you that you can't be fruitful, you shouldn't be fruitful. Maybe you've got wrong thinking. Maybe your prayers are not, maybe your expectations aren't there. Maybe you're not doing what it takes. Maybe you haven't got the wisdom of God over your finances. Maybe you're sowing well, but you've got no understanding of saving or investment or what you do with your finance. Amen? Because the Word of God has a lot to say about all of that. Are you with me? When I was younger, a teenager away from God, I got a pay packet. It was for the weekend. Anyone else live like that when they first started out? Yeah. It was the way it was. I was unsaved, and generally I got my pay around Thursday, and by Monday it was gone. And unfortunately, do you know what statistics tell us? There's a lot of people that still live that way. Amen? And you know what? I can tell you there was no fruitfulness and there was no multiplication. I was borrowing off other people by about Wednesday, trying to get through back to Thursday and then come back around again. When God actually changed that, He changed a lot in me and He changed this area of finance. Matthew 25, I'm going to finish with this. Oh, I don't know if I can read the whole thing. This is the story about the servants with the talents. And do you know what? Maybe the keyboardist, the very, very good keyboardist, could come up. He's a master. Do you know what God challenged? Matthew 25, the story of the three servants with the talents. And the funny thing is, we see in that parable that God actually rebuked one of the servants simply because he was not fruitful and he did not multiply. Rebuked. He was faithful. The master gave him his money, and the parable goes, he hid it in the ground. Are you hearing me? He buried it. And God said to him, you wicked. He called him wicked. Why? Because he wasn't fruitful and he didn't multiply. The second he got 5 and he multiplied it to 10. He said, well done. The next one did more than that. Are you with me? Why? Because you weren't designed. You were designed to be fruitful and to multiply and to have dominion. That is the way God designed you. And I think in our hearts and our heads and our psyche, we've got to fight this thing. And some of you actually need to put your hand up and go, do you know what? Pastor, I can't. At the end of a month, we look at our, you don't look at your checkbook anymore, no one has them. Look at our bank balance and we're just never getting ahead. We're not going anywhere. We've never owned our own home. We haven't done this, we haven't done that. Well, guess what? There are things that you can do. Amen? There are things that you should be getting a hold of and just saying, God, change me. The Word of God, and we're going to go through some of this foundation. Next year, I'm going to make a course available for those that want to, a curriculum that really helps you take from step by step, take you through biblically. Talks about there's so many things that God talks about, because when you've got this freedom in your finances, it is incredibly releasing. Amen? I know the times that I've been with nothing. And you're tossing and turning at night and thinking, oh, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Amen? God actually wants to break the back of that. Because every one of you in this place, you were created to be fruitful and to multiply. How many people believe it? Come on, stand to your feet for a moment. It's a huge area in our lives. If you don't have a purpose in your... See, fruitful multiply is about our purpose. Step number one, it was about our image. Step number two was that he is your source. Amen? God bless them. Step number three, we are called to be fruitful and multiply. And that gives every area of your finance purpose. If there's not a purpose in your spending, there's something wrong. Amen? If there's not a purpose in your saving, there's something wrong. If there's not a purpose in your investing, there's something wrong. There's areas of your finance that God wants to allow to release into you to see you become fruitful and multiply. And some people might say, oh, should the church get into this? Well, why not? When finance has that much control over our lives, why wouldn't we help people understand what the Word of God says? I'm not about to launch out on an investment plan that I'm building a whole bunch of condominiums down the road. Would you like to be a part of? Trust me, I'll never do that. But the reality is, I will encourage you around the areas, and I'm going to encourage, I'm learning out of this myself, areas of saving and areas of investment and what we should do, and your spending. If you don't have a purpose for your spending, a wise person, if you speak to someone who knows a lot about finance, and if there's no purpose in your spending, you're in trouble. True? Amen? Very simply. And there's got to be purpose in this whole area of our lives. Is this okay? How many people believe that this sort of foundation around finance could bring real release in their lives? Raise your hand. Come on. Why don't you raise your hands to God? Come on. God, we just pray. We pray for freedom. God, we thank you, Father God, for the incredible gift and resource of finance in our lives. But God, I pray right across this place that revelation that we were created in your image and likeness, that we were created to be blessed by you, that you are our source, and that you created us to be fruitful and to multiply and to have dominion. And God, we pray that we would release ourselves from debt, from anything that would take us away from that purpose, God. That we would see, Father God, fruitfulness and multiplication as we begin to study your word on finance and release it into our lives. God, I pray that you would bring such release and understanding, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. I can honestly tell you this is not one of those topics that you come to an altar call and it'll all get sorted. If you're looking for that, that ain't one. It's not like you're going to come here and all everyone queued up here is going to win the lotto and that sorted everything. God doesn't work that way. Amen? It actually takes some hard work and changes some mindsets. And I'd like to see next year, we've got some programs and plans for next year to really set some people free in this place, in this area. Amen? And there's some good people in this place who actually know what they're doing with finance, and I'd love them to come and teach some of us about that. Amen? And see some real release in our lives. Last thing, just close your eyes. If you're in this place and you don't have a relationship with God,